people, and welcome back to the YouTube channel. We are back with more football content, also doing some Formula One and 2K. If you're interested in games, go and check out my channel. I'm putting out 2K content now and stuff like that. But as you can tell from my background, we are here with football, and I am joined by the Our Bound regular, Kojo. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, man. How are you?
You know, I'm doing good, man. I mean, actually, I don't know how I'm doing. You know, Chelsea have disappointed me so many times. I'm emotionless. But before we get into that, I am here with Abbas. How are you doing?
Brother, blessings on blessings on blessings. Don't be too emotional about football. That's all I got to say.
Oh, no, I'll tell you. Enjoy it.
That's not really a big football fan, so it doesn't really invest into him like that, do you know what I'm saying?
I like that, bro, but...
You know, it's also you just have to protect yourself, innit? Like, you see the way
That's what I do with Chelsea, bro. Like, you know me, I used to be very passionate about Chelsea. I used to be very, very, you know, just on them 24/7, like, all my life. But, you know, it got to a point, why am I going to stress about a football club which is not performing? That's not my responsibility. So if they're not going to perform, then I'm not going to care.
They don't care about me. Simple as that.
Yeah, they don't care about me. So I'm not gonna lose my sleep. I'm not going to, you know, continue to have high blood pressure. Man, if you're rubbish, you do your thing, innit? I watch the football, you know what I'm saying? But I don't need to advocate for Chelsea or support them with a passion, you know? Until they get better, then I'll be back on that, you know, support. But until things, you know, improve, I'm just...
It's crazy, because right now. You're wearing an AC Milan top, but AC Milan been poor in the league this year as well. So, I mean, how many...
But we're doing well in the Champions League. We're doing well in the Champions League. We're quarter-finalists. And... Yeah. We haven't been poor, we've just been inconsistent. Do you know what I'm saying? And Napoli have been extraordinary. So, you know what I mean? Like, but don't get twisted. I've been supporting this club for, 12 years now. And when they were in their terrible run, I did the same thing that I'm doing with Chelsea. I still love them, still care for them, but they didn't get my support. They didn't really, like, I was an advocate for them, innit? I was just more like, all right, cool. I'm watching, I'm hoping for the best. But if you ain't doing shit, if you ain't doing well, then I'm not going to invest my time. It's as simple as that. But, I love both clubs, but it's AC Milan for now. But, yeah.
So, obviously, what we're here for is Chelsea. Let's get into Chelsea. Because I remember we did, like, a YouTube video, like, a couple months ago, how we talked about how the mighty have fallen, how Chelsea don't have this, how they've disappointed us, and all that kind of stuff. And, like, a few months fast forward, they seem to have even gotten worse. Big news coming out of Chelsea. Graham Potter now has eventually been sacked. And stuff. Was this something you guys saw coming? I'm about to start with you.
Do you know what? So, in a way, you can't defend it because the last two games, you got 1 point where you play Villa and Everton at home. But saying that, it's like Todd's taking what Roman did and just taking it to another level. Because I remember when Roman came in charge, he had Ranieri as manager. And basically, Ranieri... I think got to the semi-finals and finished second behind the Invincibles, and he sacked him straight away and put Mourinho in. When it came to Todd, it's one of them things where I think he wanted to get a manager that was his person, and he probably looked at Graham Potter and probably looked at the model of stability and thought, that's going to be the guy. To be fair, when he sacked Tuchel was the biggest name that we had in a while, but it wasn't as if like we were doing amazingly well. We had lost to Dinamo Zagreb. We were struggling in the Champions League. And then to Potter's credit, when he came in, we went on a run of like 5 or 6 wins and got out of the group. So it wasn't like it was a bad thing. The only problem was Potter was basically what I would look at someone like me, for example. If someone like Sky came to me and said, I want to give you a presenting job, I'd be like, yo, I know myself, I'm not ready for it, but I'm going to take it. And if I fail, I fail, but I'm going to take that money, take the job. Potter was in that situation. You can't turn it down. But it was coming. Like, I was always 50-50. How much more can you survive? Even though you're playing good football, just the results aren't going your way to a point. But yeah, it's just one of them things. Unfortunately, he got sacked. Don't get me wrong, he got paid well, but we're back to Todd's struggling to get a grip of this club and find somebody to stick with as well because they spent a lot of money as well.
Do you actually think the football was good? When Chelsea.
Do you know what? Like I said this, when we made them signings, I know people are like, yo, we're boring and stuff. Nah, I say that we were a bit more boring beforehand. When we made the signings of Felix and Enzo and stuff,
yeah,
it was a lot more progressive, a lot more fun to actually watch. The only problem was the clinical nature of our team isn't there, and that's all it is. We are good for about 75%, 80% of the field. And then when it gets that final 20% of being clinical enough, we're just not there. Even yesterday's game, you see Kovacic just threw on goal, and it's not even on target. Like, Alisson can just stand there and be like, right, he's going to shoot above us. So there's the clinical nature of the team that's dying. And unfortunately, the first person that gets it is going to be the manager. And then there's an element of repetition when it comes to his subs. Like, you know, the fact that Conor Gallagher is not starting, come 55, 60 minutes, he's going for like for like at some point. Yeah. And there's a little bit of a worry with that. But yeah, no, I didn't mind the football. I wasn't against the football because I enjoyed some of the players we've got as well. So credit to Graham and Todd for bringing them in. But unfortunately, our league position stinks. And that's ultimately what we judged on as well.
Wait, so, Cody, just coming to you, do you think, because obviously Abbas believes that the football was good enough or it was better than before he took over. And also, I mean, the result business at the end of the day where Chelsea, I think we won like 5 games out of the last like 20-something, like something crazy like that. But do you think Todd Boehly made the right decision in sacking Potter or do you think he should have been given more time?
Kind of like Abbas, I was 50-50. Look, personally, when Potter got appointed, I was never the biggest of fans, but I was like, you know what, let's get on board. I want to support the manager. He's not the worst option. He's done well with Brighton. And obviously, he had a good start to his reign, you know, at Chelsea. It went south bad. And obviously, you know, we're in that run where in January, I think Chelsea, you know, couldn't score a goal throughout the whole of January. It was very, very tragic. Okay. Now, for me personally, if Chelsea had not finished in a respectable position come the end of the season, because I would wait until the end of the season. Right now, I don't think Chelsea are going to get much better. The only thing which is going to save our season is the Champions League, and that is going to be a huge, miraculous effort to overcome the mighty kings of Real Madrid. Let's be very real here. So I feel like the Champions League was the only saving grace for this season. The league is done, so I didn't think there was a need to sack him right now. I think maybe just for pride, which, fair enough, you want to kind of restore a bit of winning, mindset back to the club. But for me, if, you know, let's say if Chelsea went in a respectable position come the end of the season, I would have agreed, if he did get sacked. But I think right now it's a bit questionable because we're not going to do anything in the league, let's be very real. I don't see us finishing any higher than eighth, which is, we can't celebrate that. Champions League, anything's possible. It's a cup competition, so you can't say never. You can't say it won't happen. It's never say never thing, but it's unlikely. Like, I wouldn't put money on it. Like, we have like a 20% chance, in my opinion, to, you know, beat Real. So yeah, it's a stem one's there, but it is what it is.
I mean, I do kind of agree with you in the sense that I had no problem with the second anyways, because especially with the way I grew up with Chelsea, with winning trophy after trophy after trophy, I had no any sentimental feelings towards Potter instead of all those game managers' time because Roman didn't raise me like that. The second was correct. I just would have waited to the end of the season anyways. Because, like, let him get all these rubbish out of the way and then you get a new squad to start, because a new manager, because now we don't even know who the manager is going to be. We had Bruno, the interim manager at the moment. He's talking about he's never picked a starting 11 before. There's now talks of Frank Lampard doing caretaker manager for the rest of the season, which I don't think no Chelsea fan wants. Let's just protect his legacy as a footballer. Luis Enrique is in the country, I hear, from Fabrizio, talking about, because apparently he really wants this job and all that kind of stuff. But it's one of those things, whereas in, I do think it could be a bit too late for a new manager to come in, because I think the argument would be you bring a manager and let him have the rest of the year to basically implement his tactics so he's ready to go next season. Yeah. But then I would counter argue that's what preseason is for. I mean, there's a lot of like hostility going on from this season. Like, why don't you just let all the hostility end with Potter, and then you sack him, you bring in someone new, you've got the breath of fresh air, and keep it going. So, as I said, I had no problem with the second. I do think the job was shown to be too big for him. At the end of the day, I mean, it's one thing doing that at Brighton, which I do think is a good coach there, but when you come to Chelsea, is more than just coaching. You're managing big egos and all that kind of stuff. And with the club, like, respectfully, if you go on Monday Night Football, there's not going to be like major segments on Brighton, whereas when you get all these major segments on Chelsea, United, Arsenal, City, because of quote unquote big six. So I have no problem with the second. It's just, I would have just let it to the end of the season, let all the hostility go with Potter and start afresh. But obviously, where do you think it went wrong for him?
I mean, in a way, it went wrong for him because nobody could stay healthy. Like, he made, I think I read something, and again, like, don't quote me on it, but it was like 60-something changes to a starting 11 since he was the coach. So when you look at that, there's no stability there. Then on top of that, I've never seen a January market where you have so much influx of players come in, especially of that valuation. So you got that pressure as well. I always said it, and again, like I said, you could say it's a bit of a defeatist mentality. I looked at it more realistic. Once Potter made the subs, I mean, once we had all the transfers come in, I looked at this as a very long pre-season. The league was a very long pre-season. So it was just a case of identifying your starting 11, identifying your subs, identifying your formation, when to make the tactical changes, and then getting rid of the dead wood and knowing once the season ends in June, right, this person is out, this person's a definite start, this person is going to be my 60th minute sub, my 75 minute sub, my halftime sub, and identifying that. But he never really got the chance for that. And then at the end of the day, it just comes with pressure. Like the way Chelsea played, I always say when it came to Potter's success, it was in bulks. It wasn't like a case of win three games, draw one, lose one. It was always a case of, okay, we have seven good games, eight bad games. Seven good games, eight bad games. And that's basically how we season. I mean, even if you just look back to what we did, we went on six games unbeaten or something. But then before that, we had eight games where we couldn't pick up a win probably. So unfortunately, we were in a situation where when it went bad, it wasn't like it was for a couple of games. It was for a long period. And that's kind of where it went bad for him. He can't get blamed for players not being able to finish, but there's certain things when you look at and you're just like, you're out of your depth. These players don't really rate you like that as well, type of thing.
No, I do 100% get where you're coming from. What about you, Cody? Where do you think it went wrong for Potter?
Well, yeah, I agree with what Bass is saying. I think he's 100% correct on, you know, his position. Interesting one. I think personally, I think when you don't have a striker, or when you are not, you know, using the option of having a striker with Aubameyang, yeah, obviously Aubameyang maybe is not our first choice player that we want to be, you know, putting up the line. But again, he's a proven, you know, world class striker throughout his career. He's got Premier League experience. You're not playing him and kind of revert to a false nine of Kai Havertz, who's not really a clinical goal scorer. That's evident from yesterday. And again, the influx of players that we bought in January. Obviously, you're trying to, you know, improve the team, bolster the squad, you know, trying to kind of compete and salvage a season. But with that, you're in a mix of a competitive game. You know, many competitions like, you know, the Champions League, the FA Cup. These players, you know, are not going to have the time to really adapt. And I feel like the pressure added on to that, I feel like that caused, you know, a big detriment towards our progress. So the influx of players, not playing a striker, I just think, just in general, like, he just wasn't Chelsea level. Like, let's just be very honest here, right? He just wasn't up to the standard of Chelsea Football Club. Let's be real. He had a great spell at Brighton. Yeah, Brighton's his level. Maybe at West Ham, Everton, Southampton, those sort of clubs around that sort of level. But Chelsea is a club which has been winning trophies for the past 22 years. You know, it's a club which has high aspirations, a club which wants to be the best club in world football. You know, if you look at his resume, it's not to that standard. So for me, him actually just getting sacked now is not a surprise. It really isn't a surprise. And this has nothing to do with him being a good manager. He's still a good manager. Because I feel if he went to a club, like I said, the likes of Brighton, Everton, West Ham, I think he'd do well. Even Leicester, I think he'd do well if he took that job maybe for next season. But for Chelsea, the pressure, the system, the style, I just don't think it was the right fit. And it's a bit unfortunate because this could potentially like taint his overall class as a manager right now. So it's unfortunate, yeah. But yeah.
See, this is the thing. You know when you say about winning trophies, realistically, it's like, okay, cool. We don't win the league. The yeah. Champions League is, okay, cool. If you win that, well done type of thing. It's not the FA Cup and League Cup. Now, he was dealt with a bit of a shit hand there because I can't remember if we were knocked out by City on both trophies before he came or not.
It was both. It was. And I think. Oh,
season.
I think. And I this think season, the Carabao Cup was the Carabao Cup. I believe was too short. The Carabao Cup because that was early
they
September.
They were both Potter.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, but even if they were both by Potter, if I said to you, right, your first game in the cup is going to be Man City. And then your second game in the next cup is going to be Man City. It's an unlucky draw. You had an unlucky hand there because realistically, you play City come fourth, about fifth quarter finals type of thing. So he had an unlucky hand there. If you look at, like, let's say United, for example, when they won the League Cup, the best team they played was Newcastle. And when they played them in the final, Newcastle didn't even have certain players that they would normally have. So they had a bit of luck going into that game. When you look at Man City getting into the FA Cup, I think played Chelsea. I can't remember who else they played of value. They
Arsenal, Arsenal.
Yeah, so they played Arsenal as well. Fair enough. United, where they are right now,
it's only West Ham really yeah. sort of value. Yeah, but
again,
and they've been terrible this season.
They've not realistically played anybody good to be where they are in the semi-finals of the FA Cup, and then the draw ended to them.
But it's just to hold you on that, I feel like you make that good point, and I do agree with you. I think, yes, we have been lucky with the opposition we have encountered. But if it being very real, bro, the game against Man City and FA Cup, we were absolutely useless, bro. We were terrible. We lost 5-0. Yeah,
because it's a level above us. Man City are a level above us anyway.
Yeah, but you can't lose 5-0. Do you know what I mean? Like, you field with good players. Like, you've got at least 3-4. No, like, the team that we fielded against City in January, there's at least like at least 8 international players. You can't be losing 5-0 and not have any sort of significant moment in the game. You have to compete, do you know what I'm saying? Cool, you can lose, and I agree that we had a tough opposition to face such early on, but you can't just get dominated and just get brushed aside like that. It's just not right for Chelsea. Lose 5-0, it's
100%.
It's not acceptable.
Wait, just one last thing I want to come to, because there was something that you guys mentioned which I slightly disagree with. So you guys were talking about in terms of, obviously, it's not Potter's for that, obviously, strikers are missing chances. And they also mentioned, obviously, Chelsea's need for a striker with their Aubameyang and all that kind of stuff. I think just 2 points into that, I think one thing is when Potter was at Brighton, he was kind of like the king of XG. He would get all these XGs and Brighton will still not win games. And then the same thing comes over to Chelsea where we get a bunch of XG and we don't win games. I think surely there's a common denominator there, whereas in why has Potter been at two clubs? Like, is the finishing drills not good enough? The training's not effective enough? Is he not installing enough confidence into his players? And then just coming on to the thing about the whole with Aubameyang and stuff. Now, I think getting a striker and getting a finisher to me are kind of different things. Now, the way I'm putting it, when we bought Sterling, I was very happy with Sterling signing because I did think we started getting a goal-scoring winger in terms of, you saw what he's done with Pep. He's got over 100 Premier League goals, this and that. I do think when you start saying that, oh, Chelsea need a striker, we signed, like, since we've had Costa with Sam, Morata, Werner, Lukaku, Aubameyang, and now this other Fofana guy, which Fofana, I'm going to give him benefit of the doubt because he's one of those long-term signings. But with the other fours, the rest haven't moved. What's it called? Worked out. Now Havertz,
You need goal scoring players though. Players which can.
Yeah, but the point I was coming to is Havertz. By no stretch, is he a goal scorer? He's not world class. He's not this and that. But I think all these kind of strikers that we say that we need, I feel like if you put them in Havertz's position, we won't even be able to create those chances because of what Havertz gives us in being able to link play and all that kind of stuff. So I just think the whole as in Chelsea need strikers. I think it's finishers that we need more of in terms of, if you were to get like a, obviously these aren't just laying around, but let's just say, for example, Ronaldo, for example, in his prime, Ronaldo's an elite finisher, but he wasn't a striker, especially in the earlier stages of his career. Whereas in Benzema, I remember he went a season in like what 17, 18 away, he scored like 5 league goals and stuff. You're able to get away with that because of you had another elite finisher, whether he's on the wing or whatever, whether it's playing behind and all sorts. You bring in someone like you saw with Lukaku and I see with Aubameyang. You have these guys on the team, and because their movement isn't sharp enough or good enough, we don't even create the chances. So now it's one of those things as in the ball just keeps coming back the other way. So what do you guys think in like to that in terms? Do you guys disagree with me that
I'm with you.
as a striker
No, I agree. I hear what you're saying. And again, possible, you know, wrong choice of words there. Obviously, well, I think striker would help. Getting a quality striker would help, obviously.
No, 100%.
But yeah, do you know what I mean? But I think, yeah, I think just to add to that point that you just kind of brought up, yeah, I do believe it's not necessarily just a striker. It's, you know, having quality goal scorers, having quality finishers and who are consistent. I think that's kind of deprived Chelsea from being, you know, just a serious team. So yeah, overall,
And I
if
do
Chelsea
think
had it.
another thing as well. Sorry, I do think another thing as well is players do have to. I don't know. I think at Chelsea, players do need to start taking more responsibility and chipping in because let's say we do get this striker and he does. Because I think, and I think a perfect example to use is a team like Tottenham, for example. They have one of the most elite strikers in world football in Harry Kane at the moment. But I don't think they're getting enough production from Son, Kulusevski, Lucas Moura, all these other attacking players. So when it's just relying on just one guy for the goals, they can't even compete for any Premier League. And for a club like Chelsea, I would never accept, whereas in I'm satisfied with just getting top four. Any with what I've grown up watching, any season that we don't compete for the league always seems like a failure in my eyes. So even if we do get this
Exactly.
out and out striker, which I think give me Ivan Toney and I'll be satisfied. But even with Ivan Toney, we still need players like Mudryk to chip in with goals, or we'll never get to that level where we'll start competing for the league and stuff
Yeah,
like that.
I think you need a variety of goal scorers in your team. Goals need to come from different players and different positions. And that's always the formula for, you know, title winning teams. You need goals from different positions, consistent rate. So yeah.
So just moving forward, obviously, as I mentioned before, we're managerless. I don't know if that's a word or whatever it is. Who would you say we should bring in and why?
Well, I believe that the appointment should be until the end of the season. So I think right now we should stick with the interim. With the current one we've got, not Frank Lampard, any of that nonsense.
Was that the
But in the
biggest one?
summer, yeah, I say in the summer, bro, Anabas, I say obviously right now the names we've got flying around, Nagelsmann, Enrique, Deschamps, even Pochettino. Now, from that list of managers, for me, the one which is a bit more appealing would be Luis Enrique. Obviously, you know, his recent time at Spain hasn't been the greatest. I don't think he had any significant moments there. Obviously, well, probably against the same fan that Euros, but you know, the World Cup was a bit of a was a bit of a shambler. So I think Enrique for me, I think he's style of football, his experience, you know, obviously what he did at Barcelona as well, you know, you can't touch that sort of legacy he had there. Nagelsmann for me, I wouldn't mind him, but he's not my number one choice. I do think he's a good manager, but I kind of do feel like for me, it's like, you know, what has he really done? Apart from winning one DFB Pokal, do you know what I'm saying? He hasn't really done much, really. And Bayern, they're winning league titles before he ever came and took the hold of the club. So I'm not going to say that's a massive achievement. Even though for me, I do think his sacking this season was a bit harsh to an extent because, you know, they were competing in the Bundesliga. They were, what, tied top up until he got sacked and obviously Tuchel won his first game 40, so they've gone 3 points clear of Dortmund. But in the Champions League, they had a great record. I don't think they lost a game. They dispatched PSG quite
Back
comfortably.
them.
So
Messi
I was
gone
a
home
bit,
once again in PSG colours.
no, stop this Messi hate agenda. We
No,
need that for whenever. Do you know what I'm saying? But yeah, but bro, like I said, like Nagelsmann, bro, I think his dismissal was quite harsh. He's a good manager, but I don't know if he. I don't know if he's what Chelsea needs, but right now I'm liking the likes of Luis Enrique. But again, let's wait until summer. This is a big decision. You know, who's going to be next manager of Chelsea? It's a very, very big decision. So I think we need time to kind of look over potential, you know, candidates and who's ready to, you know, take this club to where it should be. Is and that's competing for, you know, all trophies.
Do you know what? Realistically, there's going to be two names, and it'll be Enrique and Nagelsmann. So, as far as I can see, Enrique seems to be pushing for it a bit more, and Nagelsmann's like, I want the job. Chelsea want him probably a bit more than he wants, but they're more of an even thing. Again, like, if you put an interim in charge, you might get what I call the Di Matteo effect, which is like, wait a minute, this guy's actually done well. Like, let's say hypothetically he
got Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
But do you know what? Di Matteo's the main one because he came, done his thing, won Champions League type of vibe. So if, for example, he ended up winning 6 out of 9 games in the league, and then we get through to the semi-final, we somehow do decent there where we just about lose or something, and you're like, wait a minute, this guy's won 6 out of 9. He got to the semi-final, lost probably something like on penalties or something. We're in a situation then where we're struggling. The good thing that we've got is it looks like we've got two candidates who want to come to the club, but it'll be one of them to, as for who comes, it doesn't really matter. Because I'll be real, I was saying this as a joke, but we've been through so many managers. These two are the next two to be in charge. So if one of them comes now, once one of them gets sacked, the other one's going to come eventually anyway. So it's not really an issue of who's going to come. It's just a case of when. And then the other one's going to go to PSG, and then Tottenham going to be left without a manager again because nobody wants to go to Tottenham. And that's really what matters if you think about it.
Well, where's Gus Fiddick nowadays? Because he's only the...
We can't bring Gus back, man. Like, just
let him do caretaker manager for the rest of the season.
Out in Abraham Grant and stuff, man. Like, I can't be bothered with that. Now, there's only too much interim. Like, when there's a definition of two interim, Gus Hiddink is that,
yeah,
man.
Gus Hiddink runs all the list. As I said, I think the only reason I would... This is of all the names, and I'm not going to pretend, obviously, I was watching Bayern Munich week in, week out, Nagelsmann, or... But then I think Luis Enrique is appealing to me a bit more. But not because of the job he did with Barcelona, because really and truly, I never really rated his time at Barcelona. I did think that was all Emerson and Hope. But I do think what he did with Spain in the Euros 2020?
Euro 2020, but it was 2021.
Yeah, Euros 2021/2020, when Saka missed from the spot, letting the country down. The job he did with Spain, I think, because I was seeing it on Twitter when people were trying to put clips of Barcelona's treble win in 2015 saying this is what Enrique can bring, and people are like, we don't have Messi, we don't have Neymar, we don't have which is why I said the job he did with Spain in Euros, I think, will fill me with more confidence knowing that he was able to take what people will say less than spectacular Spain team into the semis of the Euros. And I think he had players like Morata, Ferran Torres. Players that are more like on the level of what we have at Chelsea. Maybe we might have a bit better at Chelsea to get those group of players going. So I do think the Enrique signing might appeal to me more. But then, as you said, Chelsea, we don't really do long-term stuff at Stamford Bridge anyway, so it'll be a bit... But then again, don't rush it, because it's an important decision, because...
I can't lie. Based on how the club is, you might as well just rush it, because they'll last there for 2 seasons. The only thing I'm going to say is whoever they sign, the transfer market, the first job they need to do is tell João Felix, we want you permanently. Because without him, this team for me don't work. Like, João Felix has been the best player since.
What is with João Felix? First of all, there's two issues I've got with us signing João Felix permanently. Is one is I think he's spectacular player. I do think he can get better. I think so. The first reason I'm going to give is minor. The second reason is the major problem I do have. The first one is I do think he lacks a bit of end product.
That'll come.
Yeah.
Overdo, and obviously that will come. My second issue is we've signed so many attackers to long-term deals. It looks like we're going to the three at the back model. So what happens is, like, we've got Nonny, Felix, and Cuckoo's coming. Havertz, Mudrik. And I'm talking about players that will be there next.
Mudrik, Sterling.
We still got that other Fofana guy. Like, you've got 7 players.
I'll be honest with you. You know Sterling. Sterling's out next year. Like, he's not staying for another season.
I don't know where
he's going to go, but I can see Sterling being sold because he'll be, what, 29, I think? So
I think 29, 30.
How old is Sterling? Let me check.
Right, see, read it.
Yep. Sterling was born. Oh, is he 27? He was born in
Yeah,
1998.
28.
Oh.
Yeah, so okay, so he's 20. He'll be 28 then. So there's still some kind of value on him. So you could probably ship him out. Lukaku's coming in, but Lukaku will most likely go out. So again, like I said, I expect about 8 to 10 players at the very least being dead wood and going.
No,
that's
but
why
then,
you.
Okay, but then okay, but then let's look at the players that. Cause first of all, I don't think Sterling's going anywhere. Like, and besides, I don't think we should. But even if you were to count Sterling, I'm just going to look at the players that are coming in that will be here long term. And Kuku, Mudrik, Nonny, and then if you add Felix, that's four. Havertz is talking about 2 years left on his deal. He's not looking to be moving every 2 to 3 years. And I don't know, Pavel seems to have this thing with, like, every manager just loves him and wants to play him regardless. So that's a, still five players.
He's
And
one of them.
I think
Ziyech
is therefore gone.
Yeah, Ziyech is another one that will be gone.
So three
players, personally, from the forward line will go. The one that's interesting is what happens with Mason Mount. Like, Mason Mount is the first
apparently,
one.
There's been talks that Bayern, you know, are eyeing him up, especially at Tuchel's, you know,
so he's the first player under any manager that's not been the favourite. Like, Potter's the only one that's not played him. Otherwise, every other manager has been playing him. It might be a case of, you know, let's play Mason Mount. But yeah, any manager we get, personally, with the way Felix has put himself into this team, I think you sign him permanently. Because
what's the most you pay for him?
Me, 80. Half 80.
For me, 80, yeah. 80 to 85.
No, do you know what? We can, yeah, I think 80 million seems like the price that will be paid.
Yeah, 85 max, 85 million max.
Yeah. And just lastly, before we close this, can we just get quick predictions? Do you think we can do the job against Madrid?
I mean, I'm not going to say it's impossible. I think there's slight hope. And I'm going to be, you know, optimistic for this one. So I feel like There's a growing chance that we could do something. Growing chance. But don't put your money in it, don't bet, and don't get too excited. Because at the end of the day, Chelsea this season, it's not the Chelsea of old, personally. So yeah.
I think we can. I'm a bit more confident than people let on, you know. I think if we played them, what, this will be the third time in 3 seasons we played them. Realistically, we should have beaten them last year as well. Mendy made some mistakes, and then basically they scored.
Possession.
So that's
what I was going to come to. We've been far.
But I feel like this season, I feel like they've gotten better, even though their league form hasn't really represented.
You know, it's not that they've gotten better. I don't think they've gotten better. It's the fact that we don't have a fear factor, because you look on the other side, Graham Potter is your manager, and you're not nervous about that because he's not international. Switch it, put an international manager. If you put Nagelsmann in there, I can guarantee you it'll be a different ball game. Like, just the psychological side of things.
That's only, less than a week to get to implement your...
Yeah. But we should... I can't lie, you know, if Chelsea are moving...
That's just new manager bounce up.
We need the manager by the weekend. Like, there's no ifs or buts about it. We need a manager signed, ready. Yeah. Miss the weekend game, that's fine. But you get that training set for Tuesday and Wednesday's game.
I think we can do it anyways, just because I said, if I'm just going off the last 2 years, even when we lost to them last season, I do think that was just down to the mistakes by Mendy and then Kante getting caught in possession, then Madrid putting that beautiful ball. But I don't know, we'll see. I said, those 2 years we were under Tuchel, now we are under Bruno. I've never picked a starting 11 before. But I don't know, we'll see how... We do. We'll probably do like an end of season review and what we expect for next season. But as for now, thank you guys for jumping on. You want to do your daily or weekly, or I don't know how many leagues do this stuff, but yeah, you can shout out what do you want to
You know where to find me on Twitter. That's KL_London or 8 football, basketball, sometimes W whenever I feel bothered to watch it. Tennis. Just general sport chat, so give me a follow and have some good interactions.
And Abbas?
Twitter page, Abbas Yunis, 3 underscores at the end. Yeah, same thing. Like, I just talk a lot of rubbish everywhere, but yeah.
And follow me on all my social media, sports social media platforms out. Outbounds_UK, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. I'm finally allowed to go on live on TikTok now, so I might be trying that out soon. So watch out for that, and also just check out my personal social media, rich_LD, NN, the I is the one. And as I said, like, share, subscribe. And until next time, thank you for watching.